This year was made available the Ili Nishmas, Zev Burech ben Shmiel, and Feige Bas Amon Yeshaya. Tahay Nishmusam Tzrira B'Tzroir HaChaim.
Sometimes the beginning of a sifter is so planned as to weed out the men from the boys. It's to discourage weaker people. But you have to persist until you come to the more important sugis, then you'll begin learning the ikrim of a sifter psalm. So hold out. Chometz, you have to know, first of all, is only chameshes mine dogar. Nothing else is chametz. That's wheat, barley, spelt, rye, and oats. That's chametz. Of course, it's only if it ferments due to the action of water that causes it to ferment, it becomes chametz. Chametz is koras. Not just a lav, it's a lav with koras. In addition, on chometz there's the isur bal yeroi bal yemotzi. You cannot hold it in your possession. In addition, it's osur b'hanoi. It's osur b'achilut, the koras. It's osur b'hanoi. Hanoi is not koras. And it's osur b'bal yeroi bal yemotzi. You can't hold it in your reshus. Now, before Pesach begins, Bedikas Chometz. That's what this Mishita starts, the subject of Bedikas Chometz. Now, what's the beginning? What's the purpose? How did it originate, Bedikas Chometz? We'll soon see. But the Mishita starts as follows. Oil also. Now, we'll translate according to the real pshat. There'll be a discussion in the Gemara, but this is the conclusion. Oil means, while it's still light, just as the beginning to turn night. On the beginning of the 14th day, the night. The beginning of the 14th day, boikin esa chometz, you have to search for chometz, lo'oyo ha'neya, by the light of a neya. Now what a neya is, we'll see later. So here now we have the foundation of the din of bedikas chometz. Now, Bedikas Chometz is a Takonas Chachomim. Why is it only with Rabbonon? Why isn't it with Raisit? Because in the Torah, it's not necessary to search for Chometz. In the Torah, if you're Mervatel, the Chometz, that's equivalent to saying it's no longer yours. If it's not your Chometz, you're not responsible if it's found in your issues. The question arises then, if betel chometz makes you exempt from the din of bal yeroi bal yemotzei, so why did the Chachamim insist you have to be bedik chometz and get rid of it? We'll soon see. Now he's telling us the chiyuv of bedikas chometz lo yehaneya. Kol mokim sheimachnisen bechometz ein tzorich bedikas. Any place where nobody brings in any chametz, you don't need any bedikah. Let's say there are no small children who carry bread and cake into places, and these places, you never bring any chametz into them, then you don't have to be bedik chametz. Only places where the possibility, even the possibility, is not too probable, but since there's a possibility that somebody brought chametz, then you have to be bedik. But suppose you know that chametz is never brought into those places, does not need any bedikah. Now the Mishnah goes back to an old Mishnah that existed long before Rebbe. In the old Mishnah, everything was in shorthand. And the old Mishnah said, "Shtei shures b'matir," two rows in the cellar. That's all. And so this Mishnah, which came later, is mefarish what that old Mishnah meant when it said so briefly, "Shtei shures b'malkut." About what did they say, "Shtei shures b'malkut"? Two rows, you have to examine the b'malkut. Now, b'malkut in the basement, they had rows of kegs of wine. Well-to-do people had many kegs of wine stored up, so there were rows. So you have to examine two rows, maybe, when the Shamash came down in the middle of the Suda during the year to get another keg of wine, maybe he parked his piece of bread that he was eating temporarily on one of the kegs while he was trying to lift up another keg. So maybe he forgot his piece of bread there. So the question is, why do you have to examine the chametz? In the Maltev, is the Maltev that is a cellar, a place where people bring down any chametz? So Ba'ameom, what do they say, shtei shuvah v'yamaltev? Two rows in the Maltev, in the cellar, you have to examine. Mokim shemachmisim v'chametz, because it's a place where they bring chametz in. The servant who comes down to take an additional keg of wine in the middle of the Suda might come down with some bread in his hand. But suppose it's a place where nobody ever comes with any chametz, you wouldn't have to be bathing. Now, what does it mean, shtei shuvah v'yamaltev? The other machlekes from early Tanoim. Beishamayim and beishuris al pilei kolamat. Two rows on the whole face of the cellar. Exactly what that means, we'll see later. On beishila emrim shteishua sachetzemit. Only the two outer rows. Not on the face of the whole base, I'll explain briefly. Beishamayim could mean like this. When you come in the basement and you see rows of kegs, one on top of the other. So two rows can mean like this. The Vedic, two rows into the standing kegs facing you, and then you have to be Vedic also two rows beyond what's facing you. Along the top of the kegs, you have to be Vedic two. Now let's say there are 10 rows of kegs all the way up to the ceiling. So you don't have to be Vedic all the way down. The top two rows along the whole length of the ceiling. So two rows that face you. And also on top, on the top row, we facing the ceiling, we are Vedic two rows. That's one way of learning Pshat. Later we'll learn more about it. I'm giving an example to understand what it could be about. So you examine the kegs at a right angle. First of all, the kegs that are perpendicular, facing you, and then the kegs that are horizontal underneath the entire roof. How far? Just two rows deep under the entire roof. That's what Bisham is. If you don't understand, don't worry, because later it'll be explained. Only two rows, outside rows that are facing you. You don't have to examine all the kegs that are under the roof. Only the two rows that face you as you come into the basement. Shehen Elyonis. And even those two rows, only the top two rows. Let's say, as you come in, you see four rows of kegs facing you. Examine the two outside rows, but not all the bottom ones. The two top outside rows, let's say the four rows, examine the top row, the one underneath it, but underneath that, the third or fourth row, you don't have to examine. Now, I have some questions to understand this in more detail, so don't bother, because later there's a sugya about this. Say it inside. By the side. When the time comes to say inside, don't lean back and relax. Say it. Even if you don't understand it. If you understand it or not, say it anyhow. It's very good practice to say it. The top tasters. Just a suggestion of Rabbi Isai. Tonight, if you came a little late, you can still catch on. But usually, when you come a little late, so the rest of the hour is frustrating. You have to have Ruach HaKedesh many times to catch up. So therefore, it pays to come on time in order to utilize the whole hour properly. Top tasters. Oil al-boso, baking this ha-chametz. Perash ha-kundris. What's the reason? Where do you find bedikah in the Torah? Shalolah be'olo be'bal yoy ba'yamas. It shouldn't be eva. You might have chametz that you don't know you possess, and you're eva on ba'yoy yoy ba'yamas. Torah says the chametz should not be in your possession. So therefore, obey the chametz to make sure you don't have any chametz in your possession. V'koshe l'ri. So the Rishon said, given the sort of beetle, since everybody must be mevatel chametz anyhow, in addition to bedikah, you need betel. Ki di oma b'gemara ha boidek tzorach sheyevatel. Everyone is bedik chametz must, after he's finished, be mevatel chametz. So since he makes betel anyhow, so the question is, why do you need bedikah? He won't be ever b'al yeroy b'al yemos anymore. Because midaraisi be beetle be alma sogi be nater, with beetle alone is enough. Once he's mevatel, it's not like the chometz is there at all. It's like the chometz became dirt in his eyes. It's not his possession anymore. It's ownerless. Now if chometz is not yours, even though it's in your possession, you're not everybody by yemos. So since you have to be mevatel chometz anyhow, so why do you need bedikah? Let's suffice with beetle alone. Amai hitzlucha chomer medike klal. Why did it require medike at all? Say the kashin aside. Therefore, Tesis gives a different reason, not the Rashi's reason, why you have to have medike's chomer. But nira levi, the afal gav the sogi be beetle balma. Although it's enough with beetle alone, they should not be ever bali or bali mosi. Even though there'll be chametz in his possession, because beetle makes it that's not his anymore. Still, hechmir v'chachomer libedei chametz olvar. The chomer required him to search for chametz and to get rid of it. He shouldn't hold it in his possession, even though it's not ever bali roi bali mas. Why? She'lo yovei lech, he might come to eat it. They'll see chametz lying there during Pesach. And by force of habit, all year he eats it. So he might pick it up and eat it and forget. So even though he's not ever bal yeroi bal yemosi because it's not his, but if a man eats chametz on Pesach, even though it's not his chametz, it's chayev kodesh. So therefore, to avoid such eventuality, they say it shouldn't be any chametz in your possession at all, even though you're not ever bal yeroi bal yemosi because you're a mevachel. Still, the shasha might come to eat it. That's why you need bedikah. V'chein ma'ashmeh le'kamet. So it seems further. The boy of Olav asks a question. Kika b'shmei kod. Suppose a loaf of bread is stuck in the ceiling beams. And the question is, do you have to get rid of it or not? Or do you perhaps, zim, maybe you say, since it's out of reach, it's stuck in the ceiling beams, nothing to worry about, and you're not everybody worry about your mercy because you're mevatelet. So you don't have to bother taking a ladder and climbing up to get it before Pesach. Or Dilma maybe Zim is sometimes enough. It might fall down by itself. We also may come to eat it. So we see that not because he'll be everybody or by your mercy. Certainly not if it's mevatel. We're afraid he might come to eat it. And that's the reason of Rodriguez Chometz. Now the question is, why only by Chometz we're afraid you might come to eat it? Let's say the piece of pork, a nevela, that's in his house. Why shouldn't he have to get rid of it? Not Pesach, all year round. It's more to keep a piece of pork in the house. Let's say you want to do it to shine your shoes with a piece of pork. How can you keep it? You might come to eat it. The text says, why were the machmer here more than Adi Surahnoe? Not a pork in Ubikash, a pork is not also Bahanoe, it's also to eat. Other things, however, that are also Bahanoe, and still there's no such thing, you have to throw it out of your house. The reason is, what's the reason it didn't require you should get rid of them? And by Chometz they did require? And it says, Mishum de Chometz, Mutar Kol Asher. Chometz is permissible all year. He's accustomed to eating and using Chometz all year round. It's only also on Pesach. Therefore, lo bedili, many people are not separated from chametz. Don't keep away from chametz. So on Pesach, the man encounters some chametz that enter his mind. He forgets that it's Pesach and I come to eat it. Everything else that's osa, people know it's osa all year round. So even though you're having it in your house, you won't come to eat it. You'll be aware that it's osa. But chametz, which is mutter all year round, therefore you might forget on Pesach and come to eat it. That's why the machmir on Pesach, shelo yovel lo ichlo. Therefore he has to make a bikkur chametz. So Teisa said, because lo bedili in shiminei, people are not separating from chametz all year round, and therefore you have to be the bedik chametz and get rid of it. Shelo yovel lo oichloi tzevdiya. Again, lo bedili minei, people do not separate themselves from chametz all year. Kidomar kama. You must say that further. Lo dovi. That's why it's not the same. As bosa b'chalak, when you cook milk and meat together, it's also b'hanoyah. Still, you don't have to throw it out. You can't use it, but you don't have to make any bedikya or get rid of it. If you want, you can let it remain there, because people know all year around that it's osa. And also, olo, pears of a tree that's not yet 3 years old, the pears are osa b'hanoyah. Or kilei akerem, all these things are asurim v'hanoye. Still, you don't have to have any biur to get rid of them from your possession, from your territory. Why? She isurim neig isur oivam. But it's always asur. But chametz, which is only asur on Pesach, there's a possibility that you might encounter it on Pesach and forget, and you might come to eat it. Now the next word, nausea, really means neder. That's how the Maharsha said. Nausea means a neder nami. Why, in the case of a neder, the man made something also bahanoia on him. Let's say he wanted to make sure he had no hanoia from whiskey. So he said, I'm make an isa hanoia on this whiskey of mine. So the question is, why don't you say also that you have to get rid of it? Because it's not osur all year round, it's just osur now. It's something that's mutter to other people. Since it's mutter to other people, it's not a general isur like chametz osur to everybody. So even let's say if he himself, if he would encounter it, might not eat it, but somebody else might come along and eat it. But a neder is not also to other people, only to him. So therefore, it's not that important to make a bedikah to get rid of something that's also by noah with a neder. Inami or shani ham. Now this is the first test of thesis. Up to now, the first answer of thesis, why do you have to have bedikahs chometz? Why shouldn't say betel is enough? Answer is shema yovay le'oichloi. Now thesis another pshat. It's not entirely different. Rathesis up till now had to contend with a problem. If it's Shema Yoba Lo'ichla, so why don't we do the same with all other Yisurim and say you have to get rid of Shema Yoba Lo'ichla? So Rathesis had to say Terutzim to distinguish between Chometz and other Yisurim. And now this is another test. Inami or Shani Chometz. Chometz is different. Shech Miro Boteo. He's not saying Ashes Pshat. He's saying Isa is Shema Yovel Echloi. But why only by Chometz, where you're so machmir that you have to get rid of it, Shema Yovel Echloi, and by other things that are also Asa to eat and have Anoia, why not machmir have to get rid of it? Because Chometz, the tail was machmir on him to be every Balioi Balioi. So the Chachomim, when he made a takon, ki in the Raisa Tikkun. The takana resembles in the way of the Torah too. There are machmir on chometz too. That you have to get rid of it is not enough. That it's osa. Hechmiru chachomim livdik olevara. I feel hechad the beetle. Although he's been vatalit, if he's vatalit, there's no yisur b'alivoy b'alimos. Still, you have to get rid of it. Mishum dil ma'osi lemechad. It might come to you. So the second house also holds the ma'osi lemechad. Only the question is, why only by chometz you're afraid you might come to eat it, and other things not? Answer is, since the Torah is machmir by chometz, by yoroi by yamotze, the chachom also were machmir. But the reason is, now other things, like bosa v'chola, Torah wasn't machmir, it's by yoroi by yamotze, so chachom also were not machmir, say that. Now, there's a difference, it seems, between these two terutim. But the second teretz said that why were the machmer by chometz, you should need bedike and to get rid of it? It's true, But only by chametz they were machmir because the tail was machmir by yoy by yemotze. So it seems, what about that kind of a chametz on which there's no bal yoy by yemotze? We'll soon see chametz nukshe. We'll soon talk about that. There's a certain kind of chametz where you're not ever bal yoy by yemotze. So would you say you don't have to get rid of it on Pesach? According to the first tenets, yes, because all year you're not separated from it. So any kind of chametz, even there's no bal yoy, but according to the second tenets, it's because of the additional reason of bal yoy bal yom motzei. Since the tenets machmir so much, therefore we're gezer shema yoy lo echlei. So what about such a chametz? There's no bal yoy bal yom motzei. According to the second tenets, you wouldn't have to be baidik to get rid of it. So in this text it says, "V'nirei l'Rashbo, da'afilu l'fi tam achr," even according to the second explanation. So the chaim you have to say, "De'achmir v'chachomei b'chol chomes." Once they made a chumra that you have to get rid of the chomes because of what we said, because it tells machm bal yoy bal yemotze. So then it made no exception. All chomes, afilu l'chomes nukshe. We'll soon explain that. Or chomes adi taruvis. We'll soon explain that. Still, you have to get rid of it anyhow. Now, Shema Yava Lo'echle applies to everything. But there's no Bal Yoy Bal Yom Motzei. So don't say that there are exceptions and you don't have to get rid of it. No. Once the Chachamim were gazer on the chometz because of the chumrah of Bal Yoy Bal Yom Motzei, Shema Yava Lo'ech, the Begezer on all chametz, even such chametz where there's no Bal Yoy Bal Yom Motzei. Say that. Chametz Nukshe, literally hardened chametz, means there's some chametz that's not good to eat. It's not posel so much that even a dog wouldn't eat it, no. But it's not good to eat. And we'll see later the number of kinds of chametz included under the name of chametz nukshe. Chametz al yirei taruvis, if real chametz fell into something that's not chametz and mixed in. So that's taruvis. It's not bent, it's not openly, but it's mixed in. Now these two kinds, nukshe and taruvis, Rabbi Netanya says, there's no bal yoy bal yom motzei. It's also, but no bal yoy bal yom motzei. And still you have to get rid of it. So we see the din of b'dikas chametz and bia chametz, getting rid of it, applies even to such chametz with no bal yoy bal yom motzei. Now it goes to prove it. He proves it. Oma sior. Sior means when a dough just begins to sour. It's not chametz yet, but the dough begins to turn a little bit sour. That's chametz nukshe. It's not fit to eat yet. Still, it's also because of chametz nukshe. You saw it. You have to burn it up on Pesach. I'm the chametz nukshe. Kinemucha chosa. Like it's demonstrated there. That's one form of chametz nukshe. We command the osum the kol shikei chametz gomer al yitarulis. Real chametz is mixed into something else. It's not chametz. Also have to burn it up. Mashmeh, it seems. Why to burn it up? Mashmeh, it seems from there. The also lashes, it's also to keep it. So you see, even the chametz, which is not bal yoy bal yom motzei, according to Rabbi Netan, not bal yoy bal yom motzei, and still you can't keep it. So you have to say, like Tesha said, like Rashbo said, once they made chametz also to keep on Pesach, shema yoy le'oichlei, and it has the chumra bal yoy bal yom motzei, then all chametz, even when there's no bal yoy bal yom motzei, included in that iser that you can't keep it. Now maybe it's not also to keep it. Maybe the only reason you burn it is because you can't use it. During Pesach you can't use it. And after Pesach, it'll be chomesh over la Pesach, and it's also. So maybe that's why you burn it. Not because it's also to keep. Pesach says no. E muta la sheisei, because if you say it's muta to keep, only you burn it, not to keep it, use it after Pesach. Amar Yisrael, why should you burn it? Yasha Yisrael, Pesach. Let him keep it until after Pesach. V'yei muta, afilu Rabbi Yehuda. Even Rabbi Yehuda says chometz after Pesach is also, but not this kind of chometz. The le also Rabbi Yehuda chometz achar Pesach ella bechometz gomer. For the chometz gomer, the ike gimel koy. One pasuk is teir zmanay during Pesach is also, lifnei zmanay before Pesach, erev Pesach is also, olach zmanay. Avon nukshe the leke lechad koy. Only one pasuk, so it's only also during Pesach. I feel Rabbi Yehuda made that after Pesach is mutar, so why should you burn the siur, chometz nukshe, or chometz adei tarubin? Why should you burn it? After Pesach you can use it, and so you have to burn it because you cannot keep it during Pesach. So we see, even chometz, that's not ever by the way, like nukshe and adei tarubin, still you have to get rid of it. There's a din of bedike and biur, because since the made gzere on other chometz, because it's bal yoreh bal yemotze, sheba yomer lechlit. So all chometz is included in Agzeh without any exception. Say that. So we'll sum up what we learned. We'll sum up what you learned. Then you'll repeat it to your neighbors. Rashi shite, why you need bedikas chometz and biur? Remember, bedik and biur is one thing. It's because he shouldn't come to be ever bal yoreh bal yemotze. And the Ri says the reason is Shema Yovel Oichloi. Only the Ri is bothered with the question, why only chometz? According to Rashi, says we're worried Bal Yoreh Bal Yemotze, it's why only chometz. But other Yisurim you can keep in your house. You don't have to have any bedikah. But according to the Ri, it says Shema Yovel Oichloi. Why not other things that are also to eat or also have anoreh? So the Ri says an answer because chometz lo bedili inishim, and the people are not separate all year from it. A second teres, the Ri says why chometz is different, because since the teres machmer about chometz bal yoreh bal yemotze, that's why the chometz were machmer shema yovel lo ichle only by chometz yadav dikim bia. Then the Rashba comes along and says, according to the second teres, you might have an error and to think that chometz nukshe or chometz adei taruvis. Since there's no Isa Bal Yoreh Bal Yemotze, the way Rabbi Yehuda explained, so therefore you shouldn't have to make a Bedikin Biyah, because just because Shema Yovelech we're not Cheshesh, it's only because Shema Yovelech plus the Chumre of Bal Yoreh Bal Yemotze. So the Rashi says no. Since they made Gzeir on Chometz in general, Shema Yovelech, because of the Chumre of Bal Yoreh Bal Yemotze, so all Chometz is included. This also goes on and shows that chometz nukshe and chometz al yedei tarbuvis you cannot keep during Pesach, you have to get rid of it. So we see that din of bedikah does apply to chometz nukshe, and there's no bal yoreh bal yemotze. This also adds that chometz nukshe after Pesach is not also b'hanoyah, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Only chometz gomer is also after Pesach, not b'hanoyah. Only chometz gomer is also. But chometz nukshe is not us after Pesach. Say that inside. Now, don't say the words of the taste. Just talk over the content that you heard. Now, the following sugya is a discussion that actually turns out to be unnecessary. But in the course of the discussion, we learn a number of principles of hashkofe, agadete, that are important. Therefore, it's worth learning it. Now I start off. In the Gemara. Frag the Gemara, my oyer, it says, oyer lao bo osu. The light of the 14th. What does it mean, the light of the 14th? Rav Huna omar nagi. Now the word nagi is a doubtful word. Noiga means brilliance. So it could mean when the morning starts. That's what the Gemara thinks at first. The morning of the 14th day is the Bedikas Chometz, not the night before. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Leili, the night before. Or it translates night. So when the evening of the 14th day comes in, it's Bedikas Chometz. So according to Rabbi Huna, you're not Bedikas Chometz until the morning of the 14th. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Bedikas Chometz the night before. Now, that's what we have a tradition, they said. One said, Laila, oyer is night, good, that's clear. Avraham said, Oyez Nagi. Now, what Nagi means, the following sugya talks about the word Nagi. That entered the mind to think, the mandom and nagi, nagi mamish, actually when there's light, like noiga. Or mandom and leili and mamish. Actually, that turns out to be true. When they say oya means night, it's true, he means night. But that when it says oya is nagi, right now we think that it means in the morning. Basically, ask the kashi, how can anybody say that oya has any other meaning? Or we learn a pasuk, Habeker Oya, when the morning became light, Wa'anoshim Shulchu, and the men were sent away. In the story of Yosef, Amr we see, Oya Mamahu, Oya is day. It's Habeker Oya, when the morning was light. So they set out on their journey. So how can anybody say Oya means night? And furthermore, when the word oyer is used as a noun, Rav Yehuda can insist it means night. But oyer sometimes is a verb too. That's a verb. Aleph Vavreish. So oyer means the illuminating or the process of becoming light. So therefore, miksiv ho oyer, ho means the light. Then it would be a noun, the light of the morning. It doesn't say that. Habekeir means the morning became more and more lightened. That's what it means. It's a verb. The morning became more and more lightened. Habekeir ksiv kemandom, as if you would say, Safra noah, the morning is becoming more and more lightened. So therefore, if it's a verb, yes, it could mean light. But as a noun, oyer could mean night. Now, since he's on this subject, so he tells us a lesson in Hashkof, and Musa from this. Kedav Yehudi Omarav, Omarav Yehudi Omarav. Since we see here, when their morning, our Beker oil became more light. Now, Beker morning can mean at the crack of a dawn, while it's still dark. Now, they didn't set out at the crack of a dawn. They waited until the morning became light. So we learn from that an important piece of advice. A man should enter a town when he's on a journey, enter the town while it's still light. But yes, and if he's leaving a town, he should leave a kitay while it's still light. Why is it called light kitay? Because it says in the Chumash, Rayala kimisa oya kitay. Light is very good. You need light. Now, if you're entering a strange town, don't start out at night to enter the town. Make sure you enter by day. Who knows? You might go in the wrong neighborhood, a slum neighborhood. Who knows what might happen to you? When you enter a town, enter it by day so you know what to do. Now, if you're leaving a town, make sure you leave while it's still light or when it's already light. If you leave before it's light and it's still dark, you might fall into a pit on the road or something else. There might be robbers on the road. So wait until it's daytime and then set out, which means you should always be careful entering a strange place or going out on a journey to make sure that it's safe. And in those days, light was one of the many ways that things were safe. In those days, thieves were ashamed to do things by day. Therefore, it was safe by day, and that's Eitzah Teva, to go into a town, the Chitay, and leave the town only when it's already light, the Chitay. Say that. Eight shulas after the mission. Mesri, last word. Eight shulas after the Mishnah Mesri. Today, it's just a discussion of a translation of a word, like Agadita. But don't worry, Mishnah Psachim is full of real Gemara and not always easy. Mesri asked the Kash. The question is, when it says, Oya lau bo osa, the beginning of the Mishnah, Rebedi Chometz, does it mean? One mandama said, Oya means in the morning, it seems, in the dawn. So we thought he means, later we'll see, a ton of different papers. Right now we're going on the assumption, one mandama says, Oya means dawn, and the other says, Oya means evening. According to this, one holds Rebedi Chometz in the morning of 14th day, and the other one says in the evening. Later we'll see that it's not so. Doesn't mean morning. Right now, however, in order debating whether the word oil means morning or not. Basically, that's the kasha. There's a pasuk, ucha oil beka, like the light of the morning, yizrach shemesh, the sun will shine. So we see alma, we see oil yamamu, yes. Oil means day. You couldn't say like the evening of the morning, the sun will shine. So you must say like the light of the morning. So we see that oil means light. It's a kasha, and one that says oil means evening, that you bathe the comets in the evening of the 14th. And for the Gemara, meek sieve oil baker, does it say oil baker? Had it been written oil baker, it would mean the light of the morning, and you'd have a good proof that oil means light. It doesn't say that, it says, uche oil baker sieve. So it means as follows. Instead of a noun, oil, Hashem, a noun, which this mandara holds means night, evening, it's a verb, and the verb he agrees. Oil is a verb to like shuv, bin. There are many words that as a verb has just a vav or a yud in the middle letter. So oil is also a verb, uche oil beka, just like the process of the coming of the light. There I agree with you. Oil in a verb can mean lightening, the coming of the light. Okay, come. Uche oil beka, elamazeh, just like the advent, the arrival of the light of morning. In this world, ke'en zrichas shemesh la'tzadikim le'olam habo, that's how it will be compared, the shining of the sun for the tzadikim in the world to come. It means, for tzadikim, everything will now become light and full of understanding, and they'll rejoice in the wisdom that they'll gain in the world to come. So once more, when we are talking about oil as a noun, so we can still be stubborn and say oil means nighttime, evening. But when oil is used as a verb, it means the advent of the light, the coming of the light. Say that. And the comparison is that the happiness of Olam Habo, which is infinitely bigger than the happiness of eating and having wealth in this world, of Olam Habo is the happiness of the mind. That's where the real happiness is. And therefore, when it begins to dawn on people in the world to come, all the understanding of all the puzzles that were not understood in this world, and begins to dawn, and the advent of the light begins to shine for them, then the tzaddikim get their full measure of happiness. Right now. Maybe that's the kasha. Vayikra lekim lo oil yoim, and he takes the plain meaning, Hashem called the name of light, he called it day. So here we have an open pasuk. If he called light day, so light is day. Alma we see oil yomam, air is day. So what he tell me, oil means night. And for the Gemara, this is what he's saying. La meya ubona, the noun of oil he called day. La meya, the process of the arrival of light, and not he called it, not Vayikra, he called its name. Vayikra means he called it, he summoned. Hashem summoned that process, the arrival of the light, and he said, take over the day, as follows. Lameo bo, to the process of the arrival of the light, kore yoim, he called day. Now, the Gemara didn't explain fully what he means. So the Gemara thought it meant the arrival of the light in the morning, he called day. It's a partial teretz, but it's not talking about the noun oil, it's talking about the meya ubo, the process, the coming of the light, he called day. Now the coming of the light would mean the beginning of the morning is called day. At the very first crack of dawn, that's called day. If so, if the beginning of the morning is called day, then the second half of the pasuk, v'la'choshech kora laila, so you say the beginning of the night, he called night. Beginning of the darkness, he called night. V'la'machshech bo, the beginning of the darkness, kora laila called it night. But v'kaimelon, we have a rule, it's not night when the darkness starts coming. The ad seisakechov, until the stars come out, it's still considered day. So how can you say that he called the beginning of the arrival of the night, of the light. He called the day to be the beginning of the arrival of the darkness. He called night. It was not night until Tzeisa Kehavim. Everybody might say, he didn't understand me. This is what I meant to say. Not that he called the name of the Oyel Yoyim. He called to it and he summoned it to come. Hashem called, he summoned the light, and he appointed it on mitzvah of the yom. On the mitzvah means on his duty of the day. So therefore, the light takes over during the day. What light? The process of illuminating takes over during the day. So not that he called it and he gave it a name, but he called it to come and take over the process of taking rule of control of the day. So therefore, and he summoned the darkness. That means Lachesha Kore summoned the darkness. Not he called the darkness, but he summoned the darkness. And he appointed it on mitzvah of the light, on the mitzvah of taking care of the night. So therefore, the darkness at the beginning is not night yet, but the darkness takes over the process of bringing night. So the process of bringing light takes over the whole procedure of making day. And the process of bringing night takes over the procedure of making night. But it's still a verb. It's not oya light, but oya means the process of the arrival of the light. Say that. Tesis, we are kind alone, but we have a principle that Tesa Kechovim Yomom, up till Tesa Kechovim is still called day. The night doesn't begin until Tzeisa Kechovim. Ein Mari, the Pshita Leile Gemara, the Gemara is certain, is confident, the Tzeisa Kechovim Yomam, up to Tzeisa Kechovim is considered day. How do we know that? Veshum de Maskinim, because we conclude, so Pele Beis de Megillah, the Me'aleis HaShach Yehimu, from the beginning of the dawn, is considered already day, the Seed, and it goes a Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Nehemiah, "Ba'anachnu oisim b'malocha." We were doing the work. Ma'aleis ha'shachar atzeis ha'kechavim, from the dawn until the stars came out. Now that Pasuk itself doesn't prove anything. But anyway, there's another Pasuk. It says, "V'hoyalonu alayla mish." At night, we were on guard, so the kusim shouldn't come and break down the buildings that we had erected. And by the day, we worked. Now, since it said we worked by day, but the previous pasuk it said he worked me'alos hashachar at seis hakechavim. So we see that day means from alos hashachar from dawn until seis hakechavim. Again, it says v'hayoyim alocha. By day we worked, and the previous pasuk it said they worked from when alos hashachar to seis hakechavim. So we see it's called yoyim from the beginning of the dawn until seis hakechavim. From also nami mukha, and there it's also demonstrated the at seis hakechavim. He said, the day begins from Alos HaShachar, from the beginning of the dawn, and the day ends at Tzeis HaKehovim. Now, if that's the case, isn't that a problem? Because the Gemara says in the Sifta Shabbos, various opinions, when is considered night. And both opinions are in contradiction to the Svara of Tzeis HaKehovim. If we're so sure, like the Gemara asks here, that is not nighttime until Tzeis HaKehovim. So why over there do you have various opinions when the nighttime begins? Inside. He said, no, below Kashi, not a Kashi Mehukhor from this pasuk that we see that the nighttime begins at Tzeis HaKehovim, the Tanoi to the different Tanoim, or Perek B'Amir Malikim, the Koman Rehude, when is it considered nighttime? Mishetishke ham, after the sun sets, calls man shepreirizum adib, along at the face of the east is still somewhat reddish. And when it stops being reddish, and if may mizra, then it's night. But that's a long time before the stars come out. It's a kasha on Al-Gimel here, or from Al-Gimel it's a kasha on there, on Abiyuda. Abiyuda says, when the stops being pnei mizra chamadib, when the face of the mizra is no longer reddish, then it's night. But we know long after that, it's not the night yet until Tzeis HaKehovim. You can mount the Messiah and say, two-thirds of a meal. 2/3 of a meal is a very small time. Shehu v'yanir eshor gdol is a long time. V'fnei tzeisakecha, 2/3 meal after the sun sets. 2/3 meal after the sun sets could be about 13 minutes after the sun sets. And even in Eretz Yisrael, 30 minutes after the sun sets, it looks like a long time before the stars come out. So it's a kasha, it seems, from our Gemara here, which and it takes it as a davar pashut, that it's nighttime only if it's Tzeis HaKehovim, and there is discussed, maybe it's nighttime a shorter time than that. So it's an answer, it's not a kasha. The Ein Onu V'ki, we don't know, we're not familiar with what was meant by Tzeis HaKehovim. Ki the Omar Hosla, Gemara says this, doesn't mean big stars that you see sometimes by day, and not little stars that you can only see in the middle of the night when it's very dark. It'll be a medium star. It means this. Yes, that's what Al-Gemara says. That signals the beginning of the night. But we don't know what kind of stars he refers to. So therefore, the one that says there, after this name is God, stops being reddish, you can already see some big stars. So maybe that's Tzeis HaKehovim. Not a contradiction to the concept that Tzeis HaKehovim. One that says 2/3 meal after the sun sets, you can see some stars already. You can't see small stars. You can't see all the stars. So therefore, who says Tzeis HaKehovim means you see all the stars? Maybe it means you see some of the bigger stars. And since we're not familiar, we don't know exactly what's meant by Tzeis HaKehovim, therefore it admits various times, various calculations that are not all the same. Now today, let's say we have more or less an idea. Tzeis HaKehovim is very late at night. Very long time. Some say 72 minutes. That surely will cover all these things. But these Tanaim don't say 72 minutes. Because they don't say it's a matter of minutes. It's a matter of the stars coming out. Which stars? Oh, it's a question. When we say 72 minutes, we're machmir because we don't know. So we said till all the stars are visible. That's pretty late. We're machmir to be sure. But those Tanoim weren't Machmer, they knew each one had his own time, say that. In the Gemara, 10 shuras up from the bottom. 10 shuras up from the bottom. Mesri. Hallelujah, kol koich le'or. Praise him, all you stars of light. Alma, so we see, oyer ultahu. Oyer means evening. Because, don't they tell the stars of light? We know that stars have light, so you must say stars of night. That's how he wants to say pshat. Kirfei or the stars of night, to praise Hashem. And for the Gemara, no, hachei kama. It means stars of light, but not the light oil, the noun. Light oil, the verb. Stars that emit light. Hallelujah, kol kirfei v'irin. All the stars that emit light praise Hashem by being in the skies and emitting light, so they cause us to praise Hashem. We look up at them and we see them and we are amazed at them and we say, raise up your eyes on high like the Navi says and see who created these, Umi Bora Ela, and we say that they praise Hashem. If you would say stars of night, it would be easier to understand all the stars praise Hashem. But now you say only stars that give light. Those stars that emit light, they have to give praise to Hashem. Stars that don't give out light shouldn't have to praise Hashem. Well, see, it's written, hallelujah, kol shalom. All his hosts should praise him. Hosts mean the hosts of heaven have to praise Hashem. So even those stars that don't give out light. So therefore, how can you say oyer means the process of giving out light? If you say it night, it means all the stars of night. But if you say it's stars that give forth light, so you're limiting the obligation to praise Hashem only to those stars that give out light. Now the following is a little tricky, because there's Rashi's pshat, which is a little different than the not pshat that I want to tell you. I'll tell you both perush. The oil, the kechavim, oil. Rashi learns as follows. The more that concludes, there are no stars that don't give out light. That's Rashi learns. And therefore he said, all you stars should give forth light, praise Hashem. Although all stars give out light, so why should he have to describe that he give out light? He wants to tell us we should appreciate that light. We shouldn't think the light is nothing. The light of the stars plays some role in this physical world. It's important for us. So therefore, although Rashi said all stars give out light, but why do you have to mention the fact that they give out light? In order to let us know that the light of the stars is something. We shouldn't overlook it. The mind after it, what difference does it make? For instance, one example is, if a man made a neder not to have any benefit from light, means he'll hide in the house during the daytime as a neder. For 5 days, let's say, he wanted to atone for something wrong he did, so he won't have any benefit from light. He'll hide in a dark basement for 5 days. So he says, neder min noy, if he makes a neder not to have pleasure from the light, also, he can't go out at night either. You might think at night he can go out. No, because the stars at night also give forth a light. And therefore, to fulfill his neder, he has to hide in the basement for 5 days. That's how Rashi learns Pshat. So according to Rashi, the Gemara's maskoni is, the conclusion is, that all stars give out light. Only today, since they say they are dark stars too, and from the Gemara, it doesn't seem that, like Rashi said, that the Gemara is changing and Gemara said, no, all stars give out light. The Gemara seems some stars do, sometimes don't. And that's what's held today by the astronomers, that they're dark worlds too. So it could be a pshat like this. So first I'll repeat Rashi's pshat. Rashi said that the Gemara's maskoni is, no, all stars give out light. Only why mention the word light, that they give light? It's superfluous. To tell us that the light is important. But you'll learn another pshat, that it means, the Gemara is still holding on to what it said before. Some stars give light, some stars don't give light. Why do we mention, however, the stars that give light, although all stars have to praise Hashem? Because the stars that give light have to be a bigger praise. We have to appreciate them even more. We might think, what difference does it make? So why we even bother mentioning? He said, no, mention especially those stars that give light, because their light is even more important to us, because the darks, the worlds we don't see, don't inspire us. But the worlds that give light are inspiration to us. And therefore, that's why they're mentioned. So if you want, you can stick the Rashi pshat. I always learn this Gemara with this second pshat. Say it inside. Since three persons already asked the question, I have to explain. Now we say Halleluhu kol kech ve'or, or Hallelu Shmei Hashemayim. What business is ours to tell them what to do? So you must say, it's really our understanding that they are praised. So we say, you, all you things praise Hashem. It means we understand that you are testimonials to the power of Hashem. So we are the ones who are really praising. That's the real meaning of the pasuk. David HaMelech not standing there giving orders to all of creation what to do. He's saying, through you, I can see the praise of Hashem, the greatness of Hashem. So therefore, we could learn that pshat, that even those stars that don't have light are praising Hashem. It's not our business. We're interested in saying how we're excited about those things that we can see. And the stars of light we can see. So therefore, through them, we praise Hashem. Avesai, in a few weeks, we're going to begin at 8:45, Perek HaMafkid in Bov Metzia. It's useful for people who want to help their boys or to examine their boys. So in a few weeks from now, we'll begin our Mafkid. Shona Toiva Tikosmu. They say, Hosmu Le'alta Lechayim Toivim.
This shiur was made available by kolavigda.com. To sponsor a shiur and help us grow Rabbi Avigdor Miller's Gemara Shiurim, call or text 347-541-8051 or email us at kolavigdor.com. That's info@kolavigdor. Thank you.